Today I want to talk about belonging. As you've heard, all the different groups and places that you can plug in and get connected here at Crossroads, and this is just the beginning. Billy and I are strategizing and talking about more groups that we want to start and people, because we believe that one of the most positive ways that you really belong strong is to be a part of a small group, and I'll share that here down through the message. But I've entitled the message, The Longing to Belong, and I want to just read out of Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 17 down through verse 22, about this section that the Apostle Paul talks and that is really about belonging and how that happens. So I start out in verse 17 of chapter 2. It says, He came, talking about Jesus, and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Now, in these few passages here, Paul is talking about how we belong in the body of Christ, not only to Christ, but also to one another. Some years ago, I was interested in what are the factors that cause people to belong. And I happened to read a book called The Search to Belonging by Joseph Myers. And one of the things that he pointed out in that book is that the factors that initially cause us to belong are so intuitive, are almost feeling related. It's like you don't even think about it, that you come into a setting and you're like, I feel I belong. In other settings, you feel like I don't belong. And sometimes you're not even in touch of why you feel like you belong, and other times you don't belong. It's just a feeling. It's a connection. It's something that the leader's wearing. It's how the leader looks. It's a song that's sung. It's a phrase that's used. And suddenly you like connect with that. That's familiar to you. And you're like, I think I could belong here. And you get in other settings, you're like, I don't know about this. And sometimes it takes a while to belong, and other times it's more instant. But I was reminded of the sitcom Cheers. I didn't really watch it a whole lot, but one of their themes was Everybody Knows Your Name, right? That's the theme song in Cheers. I want to go where everybody knows your name, where everybody's glad you came. That was kind of their hallmark in the bar Cheers in Boston of that sitcom in the 80s. But that's probably one of the connection points, is actually finding out someone's name and then using that name, remembering that name. Sometimes it's kind of tough for us to do that. Crossroads has grown so much. You know, I know it's important. I struggle with it at times, but yet I keep pressing in. I want to know people's names. I heard one pastor said that his church started out from zero and now it's huge, but he said he remembered everybody's name until it got to be 2,000. I'm like, what? That's phenomenal. And he said then his brain went bananas after that. I'm like, that's amazing. And so just remembering somebody's name makes a connection. When you call them, you know, introduce yourself. That's why it's so important, I think, that when we introduce ourselves, we don't just say hi, but we remember that person has a name, and that name's important to them, and that connection is important to them. And even though we might not be good at it yet, I think that's something we need to keep striving to remember people's names. That is a starting point. Meyer says in his book, in a world of likes, followers, and friends, it's difficult to discern who belongs and how they connect and who that we need to encourage. We live in a different world today than we've ever had before in regards to social media and the internet, and we're still trying to find our way. I think as a globe, we're still infants in trying to figure out how to manage this thing called the internet and how to connect and what it is and what it isn't and the blessings of it and also the challenges of it, that we're still trying to figure that out. But I'm going to jump into the outline here today, the necessity of belonging. Let's talk about the necessity of belonging. And in verse 17, the Apostle Paul points out, he says that the hostility between Jew and Gentile, he says, "For he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near." He takes this hostility. The Jews and the Gentiles didn't like each other very much. I mean, they said, "We're Jews," and they were proud of it. And the Gentiles, you know, they were again, weren't Jew. And so it was just this opposite. But Jesus is the one that solves that. He says he takes the two that are in hostility today, and there's certainly a lot of hostility in the world today, but Jesus will take that hostility, and he will break it down, and he will cause peace. Amen. When we put him first. When we put him in the center, he will bring the peace when nobody, no government, no ideology can do that. Jesus can. Amen. And that's the starting place of belonging, of putting Jesus first in our life and in our midst. And I loved how many of the group shared up here about just the presence of God and allowing the presence of God to be in our midst, because that is vitally, vitally important. You know, we were born to belong. That's how God, we were born into a family. We weren't just born out in the desert someplace or born out in the woods and expected to get along by ourselves. We were born into family. And some of those families are not maybe ideal or not traditional, but that's God's heart, that we're put into family. And then as we make Jesus Lord of our lives, he gives us a new family, an expanded family called the church family. And he actually calls the body of Christ a family. And sometimes you use that term, people automatically connect it with their natural or birth family. But that's not the family of God. The family of God is different. It's larger. It's more meaningful at times because it's connected around a spiritual component, not just a natural component or your last name component, so to speak. And so we were born to belong. One statement I found is that when you actually belong, it settles your worth. Think about it. When you say, "I belong to that family," or "I belong to that church," or "I belong to that group," what happens is it settles your worth. You're worth something. In Pray Winchester, someone showed up. Actually, it was Lou and Tracy. They'd been out of town for 3 weeks, or maybe not that long, but in and out. I'd missed them, and I began to miss them after the third week. Lou showed up. I was like, I suddenly realized I miss you. Amen. And it's because I value him being in the midst. I value hearing him pray. And so when we belong, that really is a tribute to our worth. And if we don't belong anywhere or feel like we belong, we can begin to feel worthless. Amen. That's right. But belonging actually solidifies the fact that we're valuable. And when we're not there, we're missed. And so it's important that we settle this and ask God where it is that we fit. Isn't it amazing what people do to fit in, to belong? Yes, have you thought about that? We dress different. We act different. We do stupid stuff at times just to fit in. It's crazy. You're probably thinking back in your life, things you wore or the length of your hair or what you put on your face. We do all kinds of things just to fit in. Because we want to belong. There's something within us in being created in the image of God. We want to fit someplace. And if we don't fit, we do what is needed. And we do all kinds of crazy stuff in order just to fit in. Or maybe to stand out, to fit in. A lot of people are standing out these days rather than fitting in. But it's all part of what we think in our mind about belonging. The bottom line is this. We were created in the image of God to belong. And we have this inbred desire within us to belong to someone at some place at some time. And that's put in there by God. Number two, what are the substances, or the substance rather, to belonging? In other words, what are the components that really, I guess we could pay attention to and realize that if we did these things or paid attention to these things, we would settle belonging. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens." Foreigners and aliens don't belong. But he said, "but fellow citizens with God's people." And so he says that, you know, before you knew Christ, you didn't belong. But now that you know Christ, you belong. You're no longer a foreigner. You're no longer an alien. You're one of us. You're a part of God's people in God's household. One and I were part of a Memorial Day picnic on that weekend, and there was a couple that showed up. We hadn't seen in a long time. We were, you know, good friends previously. Not that we're not good friends now. We just don't see each other. And it was remarkable that when the couple came in, it was a, you know, a fence, and came in the gate, and we were sitting at a table, that a picnic table, that comfortably seats four. But as soon as this couple came in, the wife came running over and sat down on this table like, boom, move over. I belong here. And I thought, how funny. Here we hadn't seen each other for a long time, but she still felt like she belonged. And she wanted to come in and just land herself, you know, kind of like, you know, a couple, you know, you have a pet or something, the pet comes up and sits right in between of you when there's no place to sit. The dog or the cat still sits there, maybe a young child. Anyhow, we, again, have things in our lives that we do because we feel like that we belong. So these key elements in belonging, what are they? One is just connection. I talked about connection here, opening up a little bit. You make an initial connection. Sometimes the connection that we make initially is the person that invited us, and that's all. We may be totally unfamiliar with where we're going or who we're going to meet or what we're going to see, but we just make a connection when somebody says, come. And then when we get there, we're like, wow, I have a lot more in common than what I thought or maybe didn't even realize before. Some friends of ours invited us to go to an event down in Northern Virginia called the Youth for America. Joe Gibbs is the one that started this organization some 32 years ago, I believe now. I had nothing in common. I had no idea with what I was going. I mean, I'd heard the name Joe Gibbs before. Had no idea what this group was all about, but I was just invited by a friend. And I said, I'll go. Free meal. So, you know, hey, I'll go for that. But what I found is I had a whole lot more in common when I got there with what God was doing through this organization called Youth for Tomorrow, how they were bringing kids out of horrible situations, bringing them into Jesus-loving families and educational settings. Yeah, I think they mentioned that 276 kids, youth, came to Christ last year through this program. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But initially, I had no connection with this group or organization. It was just somebody invited me. And then I went and I realized all the ways that I was connecting with them. And now I feel like, wow, I'd like to go back, you know. Maybe I should support what is going on there because God is doing a great thing through what is happening. So something connects us originally that you feel like you belong. But if it's only a name, or it's only the person that invited you, or it's only a setting, or it's only something, we could say surface level, your belonging won't stick. It won't go deep. What's the next thing? What's the next substance that happens that causes you to belong? And that is that somebody in that group or organization will get vulnerable. In other words, vulnerability happens. And that causes you to deepen your sense of belonging when someone gets vulnerable with their life. They begin to share a struggle. They begin to share a hurt. They begin to share a need. And you connect with that need. And as a result of them sharing something deep and personal, suddenly you realize, wait a minute, I can relate to them on that. And that deepens our belonging and sense of belonging to that person or group. Maybe even to the detriment of perhaps we get emotionally attached to them when really we should pull away a little bit and let God work it out with that individual and we try to become their savior rather than God. But there's something that happens in the vulnerability of someone sharing and taking a risk. I was listening to Brene Brown. I don't know if some of you know that name. She's kind of been the trumpet in TED Talks on vulnerability. And not that I land wherever she lands in things, but she certainly does have some powerful things to say. And I listened to a video of her this week in preparing for this message because I'm thinking about belonging. She's talking about vulnerability. But one of the things she said is that people won't get vulnerable because of two things. Because of shame or because of fear. You won't get personal. You won't share what's really on your heart because of shame or fear. Shame of what you've done or about to share, or fear of what those other people will think after you share it. When I do freedom appointments with people or have crucial conversations, there's times that I realize that they're about or they need to share something with me that isn't pleasant or isn't pleasing or not nice. I will oftentimes make this statement to them. And I will say this, whatever you're about to share, I will not think any less of you after you share what you need to say. I'm telling you that up front. I don't know what you're going to say, but I just want to tell you up front, I will not think any less of you after what you share with me or need to say. And the second thing I tell them is that whatever you need to say will not embarrass me. I refuse to be embarrassed by anything that you say. And I think those two statements are important, that people need to share sometimes some really incredible stuff that isn't pleasant and isn't fun to say. But in the sharing of it, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says there's something about in the confession that we then be getting vulnerable and people feel like, I belong because they're a real person. I can relate to real people. And that helps us in our belonging. If you're wondering why people don't feel like they belong, then maybe vulnerability or not being vulnerable is a factor. And a final substance I have to belonging, and that is commitment. Not just connection, not just vulnerability, but actually a commitment to say, I want to walk with this person or through these things, not cop out when it gets rough. I was thinking of the traditional wedding vows that people make to one another. I'll just read them to you. You probably know them by heart. It says, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. We say those in wedding vows. And yet how many people leave the commitment when it gets worse or when it gets sick or when it gets poor? But that's not what you signed up for. You signed up for both. You signed up for health and sickness. You signed up for rich or poor. You signed up for better or for worse. You signed up for all six of those, not just half of those. And so we have to recognize that as we are committed to walk through the thick and the thin, the good and the bad, the ugly, that when we're committed to walk through that, then it deepens our belonging to one another. And it's important to understand that. Brene Brown makes this comment. She says she's found that vulnerable people have the courage to tell their story knowing they're still imperfect. Let me say that again. Vulnerable people have the courage to tell their story knowing they are still imperfect. Matthew 26:31-35 is really brings these three elements together. You have Jesus right before his death and Peter. And Jesus goes and tells Peter that he's getting ready to disown him three times. And Peter says, no way, Lord. Let me just read it. And Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Wow. Connection. He was their Lord. Vulnerability. Jesus says, you're going to deny me. Peter says, no, I'm not. Yes, you will. No, I'm not. I'll die with you. Peter didn't know the imperfection that was still in his heart. And then we have the commitment. Jesus didn't leave Peter to that place of brokenness where he had denied his friend, his Lord, his Savior three times. He reinstated him through love, as Ryan so beautifully brought out today in the lashes that Jesus took for us because he loved us. He brought those out. So we see all three elements there taking place. Number three, the setting of belonging. The Apostle Paul writes, and also members of his household. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. I thought it was interesting that Paul uses the terminology citizens or fellow citizens and then members of household. And if you look up those two Greek words, they really mean two different things. One is like citizens of a town or an area or a community. I belong to this community. But members of the household signifies something more personal, like your nuclear family or nucleus family or maybe a small group. We don't have a lot of understanding about the structure of the New Testament church, but we do find elements of two things. They met in a large group setting, and they met in homes or in a small group setting. We find that. In fact, we find in the beginning where the church is being established in Acts chapter 2:46, it reads, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So in the beginning, the church is being established. It says they met in large settings, and they also met in homes together. And then 20 years later, most of us don't realize, but the book of Acts spans 20 years. So in Acts 20:20, the Apostle Paul recites to the people he's talking to there. He said, you know, I've not hesitated to preach anything that would not be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. So there Paul is talking 20 years later. Again, they still use these two different structures, the public, big gathering, and then also in homes. And so we find, again, that in a setting like this, we don't necessarily, we might make a connection, but sometimes there's not a lot of room available for vulnerability. Sometimes testimonies are a chance for people to be vulnerable. And you connect through testimonies of people. But sometimes there's not a lot of room to do that. But you get in a small group setting where you have the time and ability of, you know, 6 to 10 people, then you have the time and ability, again, to walk into this place to know where you fit and where you belong in the small group as well as in the large group. And so that's why we took the opportunity, again, this morning to introduce to you our small groups, whether they meet weekly or whether they meet twice every other week, or whether they meet monthly or prayer group, so that you can find a place to step in and find a greater belonging. Let's talk about the satisfaction of belonging yet. It says, Paul concludes these passages here in 21 and 22. It says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So in this verse, really he's talking about something that's visible. In other words, people gathering, it's visible. It's people that are gathered together for a purpose of praising the Lord, for the purpose of being together and honoring him and helping one another. But then we see it switches in the next verse. It says, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place which God lives by his Spirit. So in verse 22, he's talking about how we're growing individually. In verse 21, he's talking about how we're growing collectively. And really, that's what it's all about. You have a growing church because you have growing people. You don't have a growing church without growing people. And as individuals grow, then churches grow, and each find their place, and we all together belong in what he's doing, and we know that, not from the affirmation of one another, but from the affirmation of God. Notice both of those verses started out in him, or in Christ. If Christ is not in the middle, if he's not in the center, then we don't have this personal sense of belonging. But as he's in the center, then it starts personally and then it flows out and it comes back in. We all belong together because he has called us together. And so belonging strong is an important part. And the aspect that I gather from this, from the dimension of belonging is that where you can't build unless you belong. If you want to build something that honors God, you need to belong together. Belong to him and belong together. And as a result of that, you start to build something. And if you don't belong together, you never build anything. I mean, you can take this all the way down to an individual, even a marriage or a couple or a group that wants to do a vision together. You bring a small group to accomplish a vision. If nobody's getting along, if nobody feels like that there's a greater purpose for why we're together, you don't accomplish anything. But as people belong together and know they're called for a greater purpose, you start accomplishing things. And you start achieving things because you have this oneness of belonging together. And it starts with Jesus. And then it's recognized by those around. And then we move forward together. Brene makes this comment. I think you, I shortened it a little bit, but she says this. People who know they are loved and belong, believe they are worthy. People who know that they are loved and know that they belong, believe they are worthy. Think about it. I don't know if you know where you belong, but if you've ever found that place or that people, you believe you're worthy because you belong. And I think that's a key element to understand that our worth is tied to our belonging. And so as we live in a world that's divided and divisive, we have to recognize that belonging is such a powerful internal, intrinsic understanding. And then finding that place. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's not overnight. Sometimes you could start out with a connection, but then it might take a while to get to that vulnerability place. And then sometimes you get in the vulnerability place and things don't go how you planned. Maybe people rejected you because you're vulnerable. Maybe you got too real for them and they pushed the reject button. And then you have to ask the question, okay, what about the commitment? Sometimes I think that God has us leave certain situations. I get that. But I think we have to, when we're getting ready to leave certain situations, I think we have to set and say, God, why did you call me here in the first place? And has that original call changed? Has something changed in your point of view? Not my point of view, because it's not going well. My belonging seems to be tearing. And sometimes God can release us from certain situations as a result of that. Other times he say, no, I've called you here. Trudge through. Yeah, it's not going well. You have to really come to the place of having a meeting with Jesus and make that determination. The world would say, opt out quickly. You're being hurt. You're struggling. You shouldn't be doing that. Opt out. Yet, if we don't walk through some things, we never deepen. We never grow in faith. We never grow in love. Because everything's always easy. You never put the roots down. So today I want to ask you a question. do you feel like you belong? Maybe not here, this church, but starting place is Jesus. Jesus. Have you settled that you belong to Jesus? Because if you haven't settled that core issue, then all the other things are going to be floaters. They're going to come by. And you're going to go, wow, I wish I could, I wish I could, I wish I could. But it starts with Jesus, settling Him. And then after that, we have to recognize that maybe the connection that I have, I need some more vulnerability. And maybe the vulnerability needs commitment. See, it's not just being vulnerable with people, it's also being committed to walk it through and walk it out. And that's where love comes in. To recognize that the biggest enemy of vulnerability is shame and fear. And we as the church should have the tools to say, hey, we can take care of that. Nothing you can say will make me think any less of you. Nothing you can say will embarrass me. Jesus already knows it. I happen to be hearing it. But He's the one who can take it away. Belonging is so important. It takes risk at times. But it's worth the risk because you're worth it. To know where you belong. This world wants to tug at us in many different ways to say, it's not worth belonging. And yet when it's settled in your heart, peace comes. Peace comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to just reflect a little bit this morning on what it means to belong. And I pray, God, that as we search our hearts to say, first and foremost, it starts in Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I didn't realize that. I realized that I'm struggling with belonging, but didn't realize that it starts in Jesus. The word says, in Him. In Him. He is our peace. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I'm gonna start this process with a decision to belong to Jesus this morning. Belonging to Jesus is amazing because He created you and He knows you best and He knows how to run your life and He knows how to fix things that nobody else can. No medicine, no counselor, no doctor, no work, no money, nothing can fix. But He can. He can. The starting place is belonging to Him. And maybe you're here at this point and you say, you know what, I want to start that today. I want to just belong to Jesus. Just leave my ways and invite His in. Is that describing where you're at today? I want to give you an opportunity just to raise your hand right now to say, I want to start belonging to Jesus this morning. Is anybody here? Okay. All right, sweet. Well, let's just all say together. We have a couple of folks that have given their hearts to Christ. Let's just all say together and reaffirm our belonging to Jesus. Can we do that together? So everybody together, say with me, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, my Savior. Forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me for my sins against you. I receive you as my Savior. I belong to you, Heavenly Father, because Jesus allowed it. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. I belong to you and your family from this day forth. Amen.